The Bible tells us to care for the widows and orphans who are in need. And right now, during the COVID-19 pandemic, children are especially vulnerable. In this interview, I talked to Sherry Williams and Lauren Nelson, both of whom work to keep families together and help mothers with unexpected pregnancies. Be sure to listen as they share not only how COVID-19 is affecting foster care and vulnerable expectant mothers, but also how the Holy Spirit is moving. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Rose Spauto, online news director for Charisma Magazine. And today I have a treat for you because we are continuing our podcast series on Family Changes Everything. If you remember our past episodes, we've been following Bethany Christian Services and really looking at how they're meeting the needs for vulnerable children and keeping families together. But with COVID-19 in the picture, it's really affecting a lot of things, and that includes vulnerable children. So to talk about that today, I have on the phone with me Sherry Williams and Lauren Nelson. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, thanks so much for having us.
Well, it is a pleasure to speak with both of you. Sherry Williams is the Senior Vice President of Domestic Services at Bethany, and Lauren Nelson is Bethany Pregnancy Counselor. She's based in Philadelphia. So before we get really deep, because this is a very deep topic, why don't you ladies go ahead and just give a quick introduction for yourselves. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. Sherry, do you want to go first?
Sure, thanks. So I'm Sherry Williams, as you said. I'm with Bethany Christian Services. I've worked with Bethany for, 8 years, but I have worked in the field of child welfare and serving and advocating for vulnerable children for over 20 years. And this is an area I'm just super passionate about and could talk about all day, although I won't do that today. So thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and I'm Lauren Nelson. I have been with Bethany a little bit less than Sherry has, just a couple years here in Philadelphia, but I'm also super passionate about the work that we do and the women and children that we get to serve, and just really excited about getting to be part of this story as well.
Awesome. And I'm so grateful for you ladies being on the show. I was talking with Sherry before the show started about how she's so passionate about this. And Lauren, I love that you just said you are too, because this is a hard line of work, you know, seeing things that you maybe don't always want to see and dealing with difficult situations. But I love that you ladies are passionate about doing what you know the Lord has called you to do. So I'm excited to dive in. And my first question is actually for you, Sherry. Can you tell me, how has your work changed in the past month due to COVID-19?
Yeah, great question. So if someone would have told me even, 3-4 months ago, that we would have been totally innovating how we care for vulnerable children in a matter of 1 week, I would have said you were crazy. But that is really where we found ourselves just because of where we are as a world. And so we here in American society have really built the child protection system based on being able to be in children's homes and spaces and have eyes on them and spend time face to face with them. And all of a sudden, that has changed. It's changed for all of us. And so we've had to get really innovative and figure out how do we leverage technology? How do we equip our workforce and our families very quickly to be able to stay connected to them during this wild time? And it's been really exciting for me, who is a lifer in this child protection work, to really just watch us put our creative brains together and, you know, connect with our kids through iPads that we were able to deploy to their homes, getting families hotspots and such so they would have internet connection, and just supporting our staff connecting with families virtually in the times that we can. It's been really, really interesting for us.
Oh, I'm sure. And I know everything is going virtual now. And I think a lot of people aren't quite used to that. I think a lot of us are used to doing things manually, in person. I mean, even classrooms, of course, and now everything's virtual. That can be a lot for families. So, Lauren, I want to ask you, as a pregnancy counselor, what has this season looked like for expectant mothers?
Yeah, it's looked a lot different than it has in the past. We are really trying to navigate, like Sherry says, things in different innovative ways. We've had just a lot of meetings virtually, and it's been not ideal for these women who are trying to make plans and make like the hardest decision that they could ever make virtually. But they've been real troopers and just been, I'm so proud of the women that I've been working with, for them just stepping up and really doing well with this virtual world. I think that probably the biggest thing that has changed and been hard is the hospital time. We do really intensive work leading up to labor delivery time for our clients, and wanting to make sure that they have a plan that they feel really comfortable with and that is really helping them to have this sacred time with their baby. But, you know, that's looked so different now because they have so many questions of, you know, who can come with me? Will I have my support person there, whether that's the expectant dad or whether that's someone else? Can they come with me? And also, like, just am I going to have to be alone? Because it's just been, yeah, different than what they anticipated. And so I think there's that level of fear. And I'm really thankful to be able to come alongside them in that and to connect with hospital social workers because they've been incredible. And also just to be able to speak into the lives of these women, saying that, you know, God is with you, and in all of this, He will carry you through. And so we've done a lot of prayer together as well, just knowing that the Lord is their strength and will carry them through.
Absolutely. I love that you have that spiritual aspect that you're offering them. So I imagine those are quite a bit of concerns that they have, like extra concerns because of COVID-19. Has it also made their decision to make an adoption plan more difficult?
I think it's added a different layer to it. There's just more to think about. There's more considerations with, you know, being laid off at work, or, you know, what is life going to look like when this opens up again? And will I be able to make a stable plan in that? And so I don't know that it's made it more difficult. It's just added a layer of complexity. We've done some virtual get-to-know-you meetings between prospective adoptive parents and expectant parents. And so naturally that would be like face-to-face, and they would get to get a vibe for who these people are that they're considering placing with. And they've done that over the computer. And so it's just added differences to it. Still happening. People are still making plans, but it's different.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure that even just the whole hospital experience in general is really different. So can you share with us a little bit about what it's like to be in a hospital room right now?
Yeah, I actually had a client who delivered a couple weeks ago in the midst of the pandemic, and she wasn't planned. She was a little bit early, actually. So we were just starting to do that hospital plan. And you know what? The baby came early. And so we really had to rally together and work with the hospital and help her through it. And it was, she also had a lot of fear going into that time. And we had, you know, talked through it and prayed through it and tried to plan as much as possible. And then things shifted. And so I was thankfully able to go be with her during that time. She was actually alone delivering her baby, and I went the day after. She had to be alone because her expectant father, he is an essential employee, and so he's still working right now. And he had to make that really tough decision between, do I go to work or do I go be with my loved ones and my new baby. And he was kind of given an ultimatum from his job, and they ultimately decided that they needed him to go do the work. And so this mom so strongly and beautifully went through labor and delivery on her own, and with such strength, she did that. And then the next day I was able to be with her, which we were kind of surprised about and so thankful for. But, you know, the hospital itself was, we all wore masks and went to the door and had to be escorted in, and very few people were allowed to be in, as I'm sure, you know, everyone can imagine. And just the atmosphere was different. And she just carried herself really well through it all. And I'm so thankful to have been able to be there. And this experience with her in the delivery, well, not in the delivery room, in the hospital, has really informed how I'm now being able to care for other moms that are making these hospital plans and who are questioning, you know, what it will be like. And so, yeah, it's different and it's hard, and it's, you know, she wasn't able to have her family come and see the baby. And so I was the only one who met the sweet one, aside from the father, who was able to come the third day. And just to be in that space with her was really sacred, to be in the time when she was spending with her baby before making this placement, and when she, was grieving the loss of not having loved ones meet this baby. You know, thankfully, we as pregnancy counselors at Bethany get to step into that space. And with COVID, it wasn't any different that we were able to do that and to be there for her.
Yeah, and in a way, it sounds like you guys were even more important in this situation, because she didn't have that other support from her family. But you guys were able to really be there for her and give her that support that she needed. I think that's awesome. It sounds a little terrifying, I'm not going to lie, because I haven't given birth before. But in and of itself, that sounds like a very frightening process. And then to do that alone, I just can't imagine. I'm so grateful that it turned out okay, though. So, Sherry, I want to ask you, for men and women who are dealing with an unexpected pregnancy during this whole pandemic season, what advice would you offer them?
Gosh, that's a great question. I would say to them, you're not alone. You're not alone. And so at Bethany, we're deeply motivated by our faith to come alongside people who are hurting and people who just need a presence with them and people who need care. We consider ourselves a Matthew 25 organization. And, you know, so for people who have been overlooked or cast aside or just maybe haven't always had that support that they needed, we know those were the people that Jesus gravitated to. And so that is what we are called to do during this time. So ultimately, I would say, you're not alone. There are people here for you. At Bethany, we are passionate about coming alongside expectant women and expectant fathers and just offering care and support so that they can make a life-affirming decision. And if that decision is to place their baby for adoption, we can help them with that. And our amazing pregnancy counselors like Lauren, Lauren was willing to leave her house, the comfort of her home, as, you know, as an essential person to go and be with that mom during that time. And that is really just the type of amazing people that serve here at Bethany.
Absolutely. And yeah, Lauren shared just such a great story and was such a great example. So I'm grateful for you guys for that. So Sherry, you brought up some really great points, and you actually mentioned infant adoption, which made me curious, how has infant adoption changed in the last few years?
Yeah. So infant adoption has definitely changed over the last 20, 30, 40 years. And so a lot of us, when we think back in the you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, oftentimes there were young girls who were facing unexpected pregnancies. And oftentimes girls were sent away to other family members and such to have their baby. And many of them did place their babies for adoption. And those adoptions were very closed, meaning, you know, oftentimes at the time, these young ladies were told, you know, forget about this, put it behind you, move on with your life, your baby's going to a good home. And, you know, really, you know, kind of pretend this never even happened. Well, we have just progressed so much in how we understand trauma and connection. And so there's been this steady increase over time that has really become the norm now of a degree of openness in adoption. And so really, because of just changes in our society, it's a lot less stigmatized for women to be parenting as single parents now. And so more and more women are choosing to parent their babies. And we're grateful for those women who have chosen life for their babies and are parenting. But for women who choose life for their babies but are interested in adoption, they really get to be in the driver's seat now. They really get to determine what do they want their adoption to look like. They get to choose the family that will adopt their baby. As you heard Lauren share, oftentimes these moms are meeting the families that will meet, that will become their baby's parents, and will have some degree of contact after. Sometimes that's just through pictures and letters being exchanged, but sometimes it's visits and contact. And we've just learned over the years, and this really aligns with Christian values of openness and honesty and transparency, that it is so important for kids to understand where they came from and to understand that the decision to place them for adoption was out of a loving, it was out of a loving decision that their expectant parents wanted, their birth parents wanted for them, because they wanted them to have just different opportunities than they know they were able to provide. And so it's just changed a lot over the years.
It definitely sounds like it. And it sounds like the changes have been actually really good, which I'm grateful for. It sounds like that stigma that kept a lot of women back from maybe doing the best thing for their babies, now that's kind of being removed. And that's fantastic. Now, Lauren, I want to shift over to you and ask you a question about holistic care. So, Lauren, can you tell me, why is holistic care for families so important?
Yeah, we at Bethany care for the entirety of an individual and a family. And we never want a decision that's reactionary. And so caring for someone in their entirety is really important in that. So, for example, we at our branch in Philadelphia have a life impact fund. So that's something that people give to, that we are able to take finances from and care for expectant parents in their pregnancy and in that time period. And just whether that's helping with housing or helping with getting grocery cards, specifically in this time with the pandemic, we've really been able to help get groceries or things that are real tangible needs for them. And so that also involves connecting with community resources. We have some really great pregnancy resource centers in this area, and just being able to care for them on all fronts is really important as we care for all of an individual.
Absolutely. And it sounds like holistic care is really beneficial for these families. I know a lot of times, but it seems like sometimes when people hear the term holistic care, their minds might go to, gosh, I don't know, eating granola, or, you know, like those weird things that people think about with holistic care. But it's so cool that you guys are really educating people, really offering the best care that families could have. I think that's fantastic. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about children. Oh, yeah, please do.
Sorry, I was going to say, I would even add to that a little bit more, is we have the privilege of caring for them spiritually in a way as well. Getting to offer prayer and Bible study and just support spiritually, you know, that I just thought of now, is such a huge part of what we do in that holistic care too.
Absolutely, because you're right, holistic care is so much more than just the body. It involves the spirit. Like, as Christians, we know the spirit is maybe even more important, you know, than the body, mm-hmm. although both are very important. So that's a very good, thank you for adding that, Lauren. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about vulnerable children specifically, because, you know, they're not necessarily considered at high risk for COVID-19. When you read the guidelines, they don't really list children as those who are more vulnerable to COVID-19. But I know that Bethany is categorizing kids as a vulnerable group right now. So Sherry, can you explain why that is?
Sure. Yeah. At Bethany, we are called to serve vulnerable children. When we were founded back in 1944 by two Christian women who had a passion to care for children with no place to go, you know, they were seeking to serve the most vulnerable children. And so that was 75 years ago, going on 76 now, this year. And we are still the same. We seek to serve vulnerable children. Now, what we do know is that children who are already vulnerable, meaning children who are living in households where their essential needs cannot be met, children who are in foster care, who have been removed from their families, or the unborn, you know? And so these children are very vulnerable already. And this pandemic is increasing their vulnerability. For example, sometimes there are children who the safest place for them in their life to be is at their school. They know when they are at school, they are safe. They know that they will be fed. They know that there is a supportive adult, an adult there who will care for them and meet their needs. Unfortunately, there are many children in this world, through no fault of their own, who live in homes where those basic needs are not being provided to them. And please hear my heart here. I am not trying to villainize parents. Oftentimes, parents are doing the absolute best that they can. But Just a quick little story here. You know, there are many adults right now who count on their children being in school so that they can work to support their family financially. And now that school is not in, largely across the United States, but our family member is an essential staff member and still has a job, they're forced with some very hard decisions. Do they leave their younger children at home to go and work to be able to support those children? Or do they not work and lose their job and then they can't support their children? So that's just an example of the vulnerable populations that we're already serving. And we're seeing that COVID-19 is increasing that vulnerability. And we also, because of scenarios like I just shared, we are anticipating a spike in the number of children entering foster care across the United States, because once these kids do go back into the community and are back around teachers and in their school system, you know, those supportive adults are going to start hearing the stories of what children, the hard places that children had to navigate during this season. So reported alleged abuse will go up, and undoubtedly the number of children coming into foster care we expect to increase as well.
Well, you bring up a good point, because I know that when it comes to foster care, based on past interviews I've done with people in your organization, you guys try really hard to first make it work with the family. You know, family preservation is something you guys do really well. So what does family preservation even look like right now during COVID-19?
Yeah, that's a great question. This comes back to really where I started. We have had to innovate during this time. It is always our first goal at Bethany to keep kids together. The research shows kids do best with their birth families when it is safe for them to stay there. And so we take that on as a charge here at Bethany. We want to do everything we can to build those safety supports in with those birth families so children can stay in their birth families. However, we usually do that by going out and offering, you know, face-to-face, tangible supports and counseling services and things of that nature. And I will say, I'll take this moment to brag on our staff again. So not only has it been Lauren who has been out in the hospital and selflessly standing up to serve the most vulnerable, we have hundreds and thousands of staff across the nation at Bethany, many of whom have been out now just for cases just like this to keep families together and still going out, supplementing with technology, but still going out into kids' homes so those kids and families can stay safe and stable and have the resources they need so those children don't end up coming into foster care.
Absolutely. Now, I want to talk about when family preservation doesn't work, because like you said, it doesn't always work out that way. And sometimes children do have to be put in foster care or even put up for adoption. What is going on right now with adoption and COVID-19? Can families still adopt right now?
Yeah, those are, again, great questions. So again, as I said, we at Bethany, we're passionate about life. We are passionate about the dignity of life. And so whether that is the unborn or the expectant mother or birth parents who are struggling to make it, we deeply value all human life. And so again, first and foremost, we want to try to keep families together. But sometimes that's just not safe for children to stay in an environment. And they do end up coming into foster care. Our number one priority when children do come into foster care with us is successfully getting them back home with their families. And we are still actively doing that work. When that is not safe to do so, when we have tried working toward that goal of reunifying that child back with their birth family, sometimes that is not possible. And courts ultimately decide that children just can't go back with their birth family. Then our deep passion becomes finding a permanent family for that child. And the way we can do that is by searching for other relatives, trying to get them with other relatives, or through adoption. And so adoption is still happening right now. We are actively recruiting families to be both foster care families and adoptive families during this time. And we've moved a lot of our training and support and equipping of these families, which we're very passionate about, to an online virtual format now. So I like to say, if you've ever thought about being a foster parent or possibly adopting, now's the time. You have the time. And you can do it. You can start it from the comfort of your own home and just at least check it out. Come to an information meeting. And if you feel so called by the Lord that this is a space that you are called to step into, you can start the process right now online.
Absolutely. And I know I'm putting you on the spot just a little bit, but it makes me wonder, for those listening right now who feel prompted by the Holy Spirit that's what they want to do, where can they go online to find out more?
Absolutely. Well, let me just say before let me say this. Our website is bethany.org. So you can always go to our website and check it out, bethany.org. You can also call 1-800-BETHANY. But I love what you said. This is a Holy Spirit inspired action. And there are some people who are very likely listening right now, who have always kind of had in the back of their head, or who have maybe tossed it around in their mind, or maybe talked with a friend or a spouse saying, you know, I've kind of thought about this, but the timing has just never felt right, or schedules never allowed, or they have other children at home and childcare, finding childcare to go to training classes has been a challenge. Now may be the time that the Lord has just freed up your schedule to just check this out and take the next step of just looking into this. And we all know when that Holy Spirit prompting happens. And I would say, don't say no. Don't say no. Listen to that prompting and just take the next.
Absolutely. That was so powerful. Thank you for sharing. And it kind of leads me to my last question, which is, what else can people do who want to help? Maybe not everyone can adopt right now, or maybe not everyone can foster care specifically, but are there other things that people can do right now?
Yeah, there are so many practical things that people can do. I will say it has been a blessing to me that my church, City Church here in the city where I live, our women's pastor rallied a bunch of women and men in our congregation, and they sewed masks for our staff. When staff like Lauren and others are going out to hospitals, you know, we want them to be safe. And so there are very practical needs that people can do right now. And so, things like helping us with masks and supplies for our staff and our vulnerable families. Maybe you're called to adopt or foster, as we just talked about. Maybe you're not called to foster or adopt, but your neighbor or your friend or your church family member has. How can you come around them? How can you be a circle of support around people who are called to take children in? And ultimately, who are the vulnerable people around you? And how might the Lord be calling you to step into those spaces to care for the vulnerable, the overlooked, the hurt, the lost, the broken?
Yes. I love what you shared. That was so good. Lauren, I haven't heard from you in a while. Is there anything else you want to add to that? How can people help?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Sherry said. I also would add to just pray. Pray for these women and men to have hope. Hope not only in having options, but also hope in our eternal Jesus Christ. I think, you know, that's just one that I can't overemphasize enough. And we also have, you know, if you know a mom who is expecting and wants help in this decision-making process or just feels stuck, we can call that 1-800-BETHANY number that Sherry mentioned earlier. And I'd say lastly, especially with COVID, we are in need of interim care families. So that's a safe place for a child to go for about 2 weeks when when expectant parents or birth parents just need more time to make a decision and feel that they need a safe place for this child to go for a couple weeks. And so that's like a safe temporary place, and that can be that need is definitely going to increase. So, you know, if you don't feel like you can do adoption or foster care longer term, we have this option of being interim care as well.
Well, those are some fantastic ideas. Both of you shared amazing things. I want to thank you both for coming on the show and for sharing your expertise, for sharing your hearts for these women and men and children who are in vulnerable positions, and just your heart for God's will to be done in families. So thank you both so much for coming on the show. It was such a blessing.
Thank you so much.
That's a joy.